Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's message. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if this message has inspired you to take your next step in faith, please let us know by reaching out to us through social media or the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you through His word today. Blessings. Well, 3 weeks ago, we kicked off a series called Rooted because a new year is a great time to ask, what is forming me? Not what do I want to change in my life? Because let's be honest, there's lots of things that we want to change. And one of the frustrations with the new year is we never seem to get to it. But the question that we're looking for is, what is currently shaping me? Because you and I, we both know this to be true, that we do not become different people by accident. We become different people by intentionally changing what we are going to root ourselves in. And what we know when we read the gospel is this, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come into our life and forgive us and save us and redeem us. But one of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit is that when it enters our life, it forms us. And so if Jesus lives in me and Jesus lives in you, then our life should begin to produce the fruit of that Spirit living inside of us. And so that is why every week we have come back to one question, and that one question is this: what are you rooted in? Because here's the thing, whatever you're rooted in, your life will eventually produce. And so over the last 3 weeks, to help us get there, we have been going through this letter that Paul writes to the church in Galatia. And what Paul is trying to do is he's trying to help a very young church go back to their roots. Now, what we know is that this church in Galatia, it started off with grace. It started off experiencing the freedom of Jesus rooted in His promise. But over time, voices came in. Pressure started to rise, and fear got really loud. And so these Galatians, they began drifting back into performance. They began going back to religion and back to striving. And so Paul is trying to help them understand. He is putting urgency in this letter. He is not trying to shame them, but he is trying to help set them free, that they do not have to earn what Jesus has already gave. And so their journey becomes a part of our journey. And so in week one, we talked about the fruit of love, and we saw how a distorted gospel can turn love into a transaction, and it can turn faith into performance. And here's what we know, is that if we get the gospel wrong, even by just a little bit, performance is always going to lead to exhaustion. And then in week two, we talked about joy and how every human heart is looking for joy. Every decision is a joy choice. And what the world will tell us is this, is that you and I can find joy through things like self-preservation, self-control, and building a life that protects you. But what the gospel reveals in Galatians 2 is that real joy, the kind of joy that lasts, the kind of joy that bears fruit with substance, real joy is not found in self-fulfillment, but is found in self-surrender. And then last week, we were in Galatians 3, and we talked about peace. And we know that peace is lost when you and I try to manage things that only God can sustain. And so Paul helps us realize that peace grows where control dies. Now, these major themes of faith, love and joy and peace, these are not just nice ideas, but what these are, more importantly, is evidence of what me and you, who me and you belong to. And so what we find is that these fruits, they are fruits that are found in a secure identity in Jesus. And you and I, we're going to need those fruits because over the next couple weeks, it's going to get really personal. And we're going to have to look at, what does it actually mean to take these big ideas like love and joy and peace, and how do we make them practical in our everyday lives? How do you and I walk as sons and daughters of God? How do you and I live a life that shows that we are being formed by the Holy Spirit? Because here is what is true. How you and I live, how we respond, how we react to the world around us, the things happening to us, and the things happening through us, all of those are evidence of who we belong to. And here's the thing. It is not the big moments in life that will reveal where we are rooted. No, no. It's Monday mornings. It is traffic. It's stress. It's disappointment. It is conflict. And so today,
As we step into Galatians 4, Paul is going to remind us of something very foundational and important to our faith, that you and I, we are not slaves trying to earn a place with God. But what we're going to find by the end of the message is that we are sons and daughters who already have a place with God. And when that identity, knowing that we are sons and daughters of God, when that is rooted deep into who Jesus is and what Jesus did for us, it will produce something beautiful in our lives. And that beautiful thing, it's called patience. So today, if we're going to talk about patience, then we're going to have to address the elephant in the room. We're going to have to talk about our unhealthy relationship with hurry. Hurry is an interesting thing. It's probably the most accepted addiction in our culture, is that you and I, we don't live just busy lives, but truth be told, we live hurried lives. We hurry through everything. We hurry through conversations. We hurry through meals. We hurry through traffic. We hurry through seasons of our life. Some of y'all watching this right now saying, Adam, I wish you just hurry through this message. Listen, we love to check boxes and multitask. We love moving on to the next thing. But have you ever realized that we are so busy and so caught up into so much that it's no wonder why so many of us are so anxious? Is that hurry, it doesn't just disrupt our schedule. But in the end, hurry has the power to destroy your soul. Hurry will make us less present with the people that we love. Hurry makes us less grateful. Hurry becomes something that makes us less gentle and less kind. And here's the thing about hurry. Man, hurry, it doesn't play nice. Hurry is not neutral. And if you live long enough in a season, in a state of hurry, you begin to believe some things that could be very harmful in your life. Things like, well, if I don't handle this, then it's not going to get handled. If I don't push this through, then it's not going to move. If I don't control this thing in my life, then it's going to probably fall apart. And if you live long enough in those things, what you are going to discover is that insecurity is really just hurry in disguise. And that's why for so many of us, patience feels so impossible. Because patience requires us to do something that we don't like, and that's trust. I think the reason why patience is so hard is because it makes us sit in this in-between. And specifically in context of our faith, the reason why that's so difficult is we sit in this in-between between what God has promised and what we are currently seeing happen in our life. We got to trust in that. The reason why patience is hard is it makes us sit in this in-between of where we are and where we want to be. But here's the truth we're going to come back to over and over again today. And that's this, is secure people don't rush what God is still forming. So if that's true, how do we find the kind of security in our faith and in our relationship with God and in our identity as His sons and daughters that no matter how chaotic the world is around us, despite the fact the Snowmageddon has hit us, we can still be secure and patient and not rush what God is forming. And so to help us get there, we're going to go to Galatians 4, and we're going to go to verse 4, and look what Paul says. But when the right time came. Now that phrase, it matters. That means this, that when the right time came, that God didn't rush, God didn't react, and God does not panic, that God waits on purpose. There's a purpose in the waiting. And that's where patience begins, understanding that God always moves at the right time. That patience isn't just wasted waiting. Patience is actually trusting that the God we serve is working while we wait. And I think some of us, we got to be reminded of that today. There are some of us that are watching this message right now, and you have been rushing what God is trying to form in your life. Some of us right now, we have been anxious because the timeline in our life isn't moving fast enough. Some of us are frustrated right now because the process that we've been going through is slow. And what Paul is trying to get us to understand with these words is that we serve a God whose timing is never late and it is never random. Now, something that you need to understand that I know some of y'all are not going to like, and that's this, is that sometimes patience is trust in slow motion. That's what it is. Patience is trust in slow motion. We've been talking a lot about discipleship at the beginning of this year. And what we have discovered is that discipleship is faithfulness and trust in God. It is obedience in the long direction. And sometimes patience is just trust in slow motion. It's because secure people don't rush what God is still forming. So Paul says that at the right time what? Well, listen to what he says next. That God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. I love this because what Paul is saying is that Jesus didn't show up before things got bad, and he didn't show up after things got fixed. No, the Gospels tell us very clearly that Jesus stepped into it. What is it? He stepped into our broken world. He stepped into our limitations and our weaknesses and our mess. And this verse right here, that God sent a son, born of a woman, subject to the law, that he stepped in at the right moment, it matters maybe more than we realize. What Paul is trying to get us to understand, that this Jesus, who was born of a woman and born under the law, he is reminding us that Jesus' entire life had a purpose. That Jesus didn't just show up as a 30-year-old and take the sins of the world on, die, walk out of a grave, and then walk away. That's not what Jesus did. What we know when we read his life is that Jesus walked through the entire human experience. That means as a baby, Jesus cried and he depended on people like Mary and Joseph to take care of him. As a child, Jesus had to learn and he had to listen. As a teenager, Jesus felt the tension of growth. And as a man, Jesus felt the responsibility of pain. Jesus felt everything that you and I have felt. He experienced joy and grief and fatigue, frustration, loneliness, pressure, and temptation. I love what Hebrews tells us. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. I love this. What it's saying is that Jesus stepped into all of it. Jesus stepped into a broken world. Jesus stepped into slow processes. Jesus stepped into limitations and suffering. And yes, Jesus stepped into waiting, which means this. Jesus didn't just come to save us from our sin. But what's really beautiful about the life of Jesus is that he also came to show you and me how to live while we wait. And that tells us something important, that God is not in a hurry, even when he's working. And that's interesting, right? When you look at the gospel, you look at the people that are in the scriptures, live long enough and listen to enough testimonies in a church service, what you are going to find over and over and over again to be true is that God has a timetable that he works on. So if God has a timetable, then why do people like us live life like everything has to happen now? Why is it that everything has to happen now? That if the answer doesn't come fast, well, then God must not be moving. And if the breakthrough isn't immediate, well, then the promise must not be real. And we got to be really careful because we can become really bitter in our faith and we can view waiting as a wasted moment. Now, I need you to lean in. Someone needs to hear this today. That waiting isn't punishment, friend. No, waiting is preparation. That patience isn't just this habit that we try to develop at the beginning of the year, but what we're finding out here is that patience is a fruit, and it grows when you and I trust God's pace over our pressure. Very different, right? Because I get it. We all got pressure. We all got things that we're wrestling with. For some of y'all, it has been a tough week. For some of y'all, we're not done with January and it has been a tough year. We are never going to get away from pressure. But what is greater than the pressure we face is the pace at which God moves. And so the fruit of patience, what is true about that is when we trust God's pacing over the pressure that we feel. And I think some of us need to understand something, that we want the Holy Spirit to move so fast in our life. But listen, some of y'all, you need to chill out. You need to stop a second. We got to call a timeout. You need to breathe. That the Spirit is not always trying to speed things up in your life. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is trying to steady your soul, friend, because you've been through some things and you're a little unstable. And maybe what you need is the Holy Spirit to wrap his arms around you and hold you steady and slow down. That maybe what some of us need to hear today is that the reason why I need you to get this. The reason why God isn't changing your situation is because God is trying, friend, to change you. And that God is doing in you what he wants to do through you. And I'm going to say that again because I think it came a little fast. That God is going to do in you what he wants to do through you. Because that's how it works. That there's this weird thing where we want patience and we want responsibility and we want forgiveness and we want understanding. And so we treat God as if he's some genie. That we just rub that Bible and poof, all these things are going to happen in our life. But when you want to see God work certain things in your faith, you got to understand that if you want God to do it through you, God first is going to have to do that in you. And because of that, here's what we can trust to be true. That God's timing, it is never late, and God's timing is never random. And I love what the writer of Hebrews continues to say, that because you and I have a high priest in Jesus who has been through what we have been through, he's been in it, yet he did it without failure. He did it without sin. Because of that, listen to what happens next. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want to encourage you today, friend, that if you are going through something, there is a Savior who has walked where you walked and he can get you through it. Praise God for that. And I love what Paul goes on to say in verse 5. He says that God sent him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. I love this. Jesus did not come to give you and I some good advice. No, he came to rescue our souls. Jesus did not come to improve your life. No, Jesus came to purchase your freedom. Now listen, are those things true? Yes. Jesus said some really good things. That's why the world really loves him. Everybody wants to be on Team Jesus. They love the things that he said. For years, people have looked at him and says, yeah, that guy was really wise. He was really smart. And yes, will following Jesus and living your life like Jesus, is that going to improve things in your life? I promise you it will. That if you do the things that Jesus said to do, it is going to make you better in your marriage. It is going to make you better with your kids. It's going to make you better at your job. It is going to improve the way you interact with people in your life. But listen, that's not why he came. Jesus came to save our souls. He came to rescue us. Paul says that God sent him to buy our freedom. And that's what the Galatians had forgotten. They forgot that that's why Jesus came. They forgot that that's why they said yes to Jesus. You see, these Galatians, this young church, they're no different than me and you. That they started with freedom. They started with grace. They started with the power of the Holy Spirit. But little by little, they drifted back into slavery. Now, I'm not talking about chains on your wrist kind of slavery. I'm talking about pressure on your heart kind of slavery. And if you have felt that kind of pressure, you know the weight that it can bear on your soul. Is that these Galatians, they started living like the gospel was dependent on their performance. As if their standing with God was dependent on their effort. As if their security and their salvation was dependent upon their consistency. And here's the thing. What is true for them is also what is true for us. That when you and I start believing that it is on us. It's on us to keep ourselves saved. It's on us to prove that we've got it. Anytime we live our life like that, you will not get patience. You will get panic in your life. And I think the reason why we have such an unhealthy relationship with hurry, the reason why some of us are just running around like crazy people, caught up in anxiety, is because we have bought into the lie that somehow we are responsible for our salvation. That somehow we are responsible for the value that we have on our life. And what it says is that God sent Jesus to buy freedom for us who were what? Slaves to the law. Now listen, if we're honest, this isn't a Galatians problem. This is a people problem. especially in the context of church. Because if we get the gospel wrong, right? That was week one. What happens if we distort the gospel? That's why Paul is writing this letter. And we're trying to root ourselves back into the true gospel, that it's Jesus plus nothing that equals everything. So if we're honest, this thing we're talking about today, this weird relationship with hurry, this struggle with patience, this is a people problem. Because if you're not careful, you can show up in a church like this every single week and still not live the gospel freedom that Jesus has bought for you. Is that you and I, get this, we can love Jesus and still feel like he's disappointed in us. If you get the gospel wrong, you can do it. You and I, if we get the gospel wrong, we can be near to God and still not feel safe with God. And I think the reason why so many of us today who are watching, I think the reason why we're tired is not just because life is hard, because it is hard. But here's the reason why I think so many of us are tired, is because we have been trying to keep up with a version of faith that God never asked us to carry. He never asked us to carry it. And so if that is you today, and you just feel overwhelmed, and your soul feels heavy, I want to say some things that I hope can pour life into you today through the love of Jesus. And that is this, is that Jesus didn't just come to get you out of slavery, but Jesus came to bring you into his family. And the reason why I know that to be true is because of what Paul says next. He says that all of this was so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Now, I love this word adoption. Here's what it means. Adoption doesn't mean you just got forgiven. No. Adoption means that you got brought in. It doesn't mean that you didn't just get cleaned up. It means that you got claimed by the God of the universe. It didn't mean that you got spared, but it means that you got chosen. The word adoption, it's a very important word in the Myers family. So we've got four kids in the Myers household, and two of our kids we got to adopt. And let me tell you why adoption is such a beautiful picture and why Paul using it here is so important. You see, when you have a kid, you can pretty much do anything you want with that kid. And here's what I mean by that. If for some reason a mama has a baby and decides that for whatever reason she can't take care of this child, she doesn't want to be responsible for it. She can actually give up her rights to that child because that child was born to her. That is her decision as a parent. And that happens in lots of different scenarios. There's a mom that gave her son up that I will be forever grateful for, that allowed us to bring Jeremiah into our lives. And so with Jeremiah in both faith, when God blessed us with the opportunity to bring them into our life, when it became adoption day, we stood in front of a judge. And we made a bunch of legally binding promises that we entered into an agreement that this child would become ours, that they would carry our name. And because of that legally binding agreement, that adopted child, I cannot give up. That is my responsibility until that child becomes an adult. And I love this picture because what Paul is telling us is that Jesus came to buy our freedom so that we wouldn't be slaves, so that he could adopt us as what? His very own children. That because of Jesus' death, because of Jesus' resurrection, that there is a binding agreement between us and the God of the universe, that we belong to him, that the name of Jesus becomes our name. And that is a legally binding contract bought by the blood of Jesus. And so, friend, I need you to get this today. This is the good news that I need you to hear. If you have been living under pressure and panic and pain, the gospel, the good news, that Jesus lived and he died and he kicked the end out of that tomb. Here is the gospel, that it doesn't just take the chains off of our life, but more than that, and that's pretty good, that it puts a name on our soul. That there is a name on my soul, and that name is Jesus. And I belong to the family of God forever. And look at what Paul says in verse 6. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. I love this. Now, let's take a step back. Let's call a timeout. I get that when you hear the word Father, there's just going to be a lot of emotion stirred up in the room. We talk about this a lot. That when you hear the word Father, some of y'all watching right now, you had a dad that crushed it. Super dad. Some of y'all, unfortunately, you had a dad that crushed you. And so when we say the word Father, there's a lot of us that we do not think comfort, but we think conflict. And I love what the gospel does. You see, when the gospel talks about God as Father, here's the thing I need you to understand, that God the Father, He is not a reflection of our earthly dads. No, God the Father is the perfection of our earthly dads. He is what our dads would be if they didn't have all the sin and brokenness in our life. And what Paul is saying in this context, that God is Abba Father, what he is saying is that God is not like the father that you and I had to survive. Okay? Whoever that father was, whether he was crushing it or crushing us, God is not like that father. No, that God is the father that you and I can finally come home to. That when Paul talks about God in this way, he doesn't use a distant formal title for God. No, what Paul does is he uses a word that draws us close. I love it. He says, Abba. Abba. That word matters. You see, Abba was the kind of word that a child would say in a home. It is personal, it is relational, and it is intimate. And Abba is the difference between knowing somebody that has authority and knowing somebody that has affection. And what Paul is saying in these verses is that when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, when we say yes to Jesus, that the Holy Spirit doesn't just convince us that God is real, but get this, the Holy Spirit convinces us that God is ours. That we get to have a relationship with the God of this universe, that He belongs to us and we belong to Him. And that is a legally binding adoption, that nothing could ever change that, friend. Nothing you could ever do. You know what I love about the gospel and the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus is that when Jesus gave His life up for me and you, He knew all the things that we were ever going to do. Meaning this, Jesus knew what He was buying when He gave His life for you on that cross. And there is nothing you could ever do that could change the way that God feels about you. Because of Jesus, when God sees you, He sees Jesus. And this term, Abba, it is powerful because Abba means that you and I, we do not have to perform. That you and I, because of Jesus, we belong. And so how does Paul finish out this thought? In verse 7, he says this, now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. I love this. This isn't some kind of motivational, put it on a coffee cup, put it on a bumper sticker kind of line here. That's not what this is. This is a complete shift in our identity. That because of these things that Paul has said, because of what Jesus has done, we belong to God. You are His. Now, I need you to get this. Okay, so lean in as we start to land this plane. Because you are His, and because I am His, we are secure in Jesus, and we are secure in the Father. Now, let me tell you why that matters. Because we are secure in Jesus, not because of us, but because of Him. Not because of how great you are, or not despite the fact that you're not that great. There is nothing we could ever do to earn that salvation. It's only because of Jesus. This is the true gospel, that we are His, and because we're His, we are secure. And because we are secure, right? If we're secure, then we don't have to rush. We don't have to rush. I think the impatience in us is usually, it's not about time. Do you know why we're impatient? Because it's about trust. That we feel rushed when we feel like we're behind, we feel like we're losing control, when we feel like we have to make something happen. And what's incredible about the gospel is that the gospel doesn't just change our eternity. Because yes, one day you and I, friend, we are going to breathe our last breath and we are going to step into eternity. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, because my sins are covered through Jesus, I get to spend eternity with Him forever with my big family that has all said yes to Jesus. And that is going to be a great day. But here's what's beautiful about the gospel, is that the gospel of Jesus doesn't just change our eternity, but here's what makes it practical. It changes today. Because of Jesus, it changes the way I get to live my life today. Because when you and I, when we belong to the Father, when we are rooted in that truth, we finally stop trying to force what only God can form. And that is why the fruit of patience matters so much. That patience grows when we choose to root ourselves in the Father that we trust. That we are a part of the family. We are adopted. We are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters. We are heirs to the King, that we carry the name of Jesus. And when we root ourselves in that truth, we trust the Father's heart and we trust the Father's timing. And because of that, we can be secure. And here's the thing about secure people. Secure people don't rush what God is still forming. And so here's the real question today. Here's the question that you're going to have to answer. What are you afraid is going to happen? What are you afraid is going to happen? What are you worried that's not going to work out? What are you trying to rush? What are you afraid is going to happen? That if these things that we have spoken are true, if we are rooted in our identity in God as a Father who keeps His promises, as a Savior who knows us and loves us, and if the grave couldn't hold Him, I promise you, friend, whatever you're going through can't hold Him either. So what are we afraid is going to happen? If it was just you and I hanging out today, and we're just sharing a cup of coffee, I think I would say something like this. Sometimes rushing in our life, anxiety in our life, feeling like we have to control everything in our life, sometimes that is often proof that somewhere deep down, I need you to hear this, somewhere deep down, we are still living like we're slaves. And here's what's true. Here's where Paul has taken us. That slaves live in pressure, but sons and daughters, they live in the promise. And so let me tell you the promise. All right, here it is. You are His child. You are an heir of God. You are not a slave, friend. And the Spirit that is in you is crying out something that you already know to be true, and that is Abba, Father. And here's the thing. If He's Father of our life, if we trust it and believe it to be true, then we can trust Him with the process. We can trust Him with our timeline. We can trust Him with the in-between. And most importantly, we can trust Him with our heart. And so as we close out this part, as we get ready to enter into a time of worship, I want to give you something, a simple prayer that I believe if you take it and you pray it, it's going to get you through Monday. It's going to get you through the waiting on the doctor's report. It's going to get you through this financial season that you're in right now. It's going to get you through the uncertainty happening with your friends and family. It's going to get you through this snow. I promise you, okay? And here's the prayer. Father, I belong to You. And You're never late. Father, I belong to You, and You're never late. He never is. He never is.